Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But I will take an L on this Monday, June 16th. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. A few weeks ago, I not only declared the AL East over, which I stand by, but I said that the lead that the Yankees have would never get below four. Well, I was wrong, because the Tampa Bay Rays this morning are 3.5 games behind the Yankees, mainly because the Yankees got swept and the Rays swept the Mets. So sorry about that. So I am wrong that the lead has gotten closer than I would have imagined, but I still think the Yankees will win the AL East comfortably. But you look at this division, the state of this division. Tampa Bay, of course, sweeping the Mets, and they played really well in the month of June overall as well. I think they're about 18-7 in their last 25 games. The Toronto Blue Jays are 5 games above 500. They lost 3 in a row, getting swept by the Philadelphia Phillies. And while the Red Sox are hot, and they've won 5 in a row, including 5 out of 6 against the Yankees, they just traded Rafael Devers.
Mm-hmm.
So Tiki Barber, and let's not forget the Orioles, who've won 3 in a row, 10 games under 500, 12 games out.
Right.
Who is right now, in your mind, the biggest threat to the Yankees in the AL East?
I think it's got to be the team that's just right there, and that's Tampa Bay. Not that I think that they're better than the New York Yankees, but it feels like they're hot at the right time. And if a team is going to snatch the division, or at least get close to snatching it from the Yankees, it'll be Tampa, at least for a little while. But I don't think it's ultimately, I agree with you. I think the Yankees win the division and probably do so in convincing fashion, but I don't think the Yankees are going to run away with this division.
Remember this with Tampa Bay, and I know they just won 3 games at Citi Field, so mm-hmm. I say this with full knowledge of that. They have played 28 games on the road and 43 games at home. They mm-hmm. still have a lot of road receipts.
Right.
That they're going to have to take care of. Sean, biggest threat to the Yankees in the AL East, since you do not think the AL East is over.
I think it still remains the Boston Red Sox, even after the Devers trade. I think that this team, after, again, I'm not in that room, I don't know, after getting rid of Devers and refusing to play all those positions, they're injecting a lot of young blood in there, and I still like Garrett Crochet at the top of their rotation. I think they're going to feel themselves off this. I think they're about to have a big trip here, Seattle, San Francisco. After that, the schedule lightens up, too, including a big series with Toronto. I think Boston's not going to go away, and they're going to have a little 2022 Braves in them.
It just gets a little bit dicey with all those young players.
It does.
You just don't know.
But they might be too young to know better.
Yeah, but they also might be too young to not know how to figure it out.
True.
So we don't know. So
again, though, we're talking about
that's the only risk why I say not the Boston Red Sox.
That's fair.
Because they're just going to be young.
I don't think they're going to catch the Yankees, though, but I think they will give them their biggest fight come later in the months of the season.
I'm putting this out as a poll. I'm kind of curious what the people say. All 4 choices. Who's the biggest threat to the Yankees in the AL East? Tampa Bay, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, or the Orioles? I stand by Toronto, and it's weird. Some people would look at the Blue Jays' negative run differential and say that's proof that they're not that good.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it as, to me, it's proof that they haven't even played that well. And yet they're 5 games above 500. Bo Bichette has not had a great year. Vlad Guerrero Jr. has not had a great year. Jeff Hoffman, their closer, has not had a great year. Chris Bassett got off to a great start. Then he was struggling a lot. Like, the Blue Jays still haven't played up to their talent level, and they're 5 games above 500 and 4.5 games out, and they have a negative run differential. I think it's the Toronto Blue Jays. So we'll see what the people say. I'll give you those results in a little bit. I'm curious what the people say. Actually, my prediction is they're going to agree with Sean and say the Red Sox because of the recency bias of losing 5 out of 6 to them.
But unless the Devers trade swerves people and they think that's it, they just gave up. I don't think they gave up.
Well, let me ask you this. Last night, when the Devers, when you found out about the Devers trade, what was your reaction as a Yankee fan?
Thank God the Wicked Witch is dead. I was positive, but I've slept on it since, and I don't think they're dead. I think they're going to be different.
May I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Rafael Devers obviously has owned the New York Yankees.
He's our daddy.
He's your daddy. Very respectful. Is there one Devers moment that jumps out at you above all the others as we celebrate him no longer torturing you in the same division?
So there's two for me when I think Rafael Devers. Number one, the birth of Joe's McFly when he's taping himself and Chapman gives up the bomb to Devers in right field and he was filming himself. That one will always stick out. And last year, the walk heard round the world from Gerrit Cole will always, you know, be stuck in my mind.
That's mine. That's mine. My answer was the walk heard round the world. It's not even a home run. It was Gerrit Cole putting those four fingers up.
Right.
And all of us being aghast at what he was doing.
It's because it felt like your ace, the guy who you're depending on to take the hill every 5 days and be dominant, conceded.
Yes.
And that you just don't expect that.
Yeah.
Especially not from him. Especially because of how he is.
I agree. Like, I think if anyone else does that, you know, nobody on base. Like, if Griffin Canning did that to somebody he owned him, we'd be like, oh, okay.
Right.
It's Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, you're supposed to challenge him. You're supposed to, despite the odds against you because he owns you, you're supposed to go at him and defeat him. And instead, you're like, hey, get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't want to try.
He gave him the four fingers.
Right. I don't want to even try.
Yeah, that's my number one Rafael Devers moment, which is amazing. I could have picked any of those home runs.
Right.
I'm actually going with the walk heard around the world.
Yeah, and make no mistake, next year in whatever that 3-game set is, Gerrit Cole will start versus the San Francisco Giants, and Rafael Devers will hit all home.
Probably. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. Milton from Brooklyn. What's up, Milton?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great show. A little story about Dodger Stadium. I mean, I am a bleacher creature. I am the guy who rings the bell. So we used to, you know, do a lot of traveling. So back in 2000, I believe 2004, when Eric Gagne was going for that streak of getting all those saves in a row.
Yeah.
We're in the stadium. First of all, it's the loudest stadium I've ever heard. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's so loud, you go deaf in there. And number two, I mean, it was the only stadium I've ever been to. They actually took the cowbell away from me. It was the only stadium. No other stadium. Yeah, they would. And I told them, "What are you doing?" You know, I ring the bell. I came with a whole group. Everybody knows who I am. Blah, blah, blah. And they were like, "Well, some of the fans consider it a weapon, so we have to take it away from you." So I was like, "Okay." And that was the only time that ever happened. So I grew up in East New York and Brooklyn. Okay, I'm Puerto Rican. I'm used to noticing danger ahead of time. It's just in my blood. That's something you go through living in that area. So this kind of saved my life a little bit, because after the game, although the Dodgers won, I mean, that's not good enough. I'm walking with two of my friends, and they did not grow up in Brooklyn. Okay, let me just put it that way. So my two friends are with me. They're just oblivious to what's going on around them. Me, my antennas are up because I'm in a, you know, I'm a foreigner, basically, where right. I'm at, you know. I see these three guys talking, and they were talking in Spanish combined with English, and I could read their lips because I'm good at that. And I could almost hear them saying, "Let's stab one of these guys."
What?
Okay, so they were planning. So as we walked by, we were going towards them. Their plan was to stab one of us because I could hear them and I could read their lips. So right away, I told my friends, "Guys, be ready. We're gonna some stuff is gonna go down." Okay, my friends like, "What are you talking about? This is just a baseball game." I said, "Yo, turn. I want you to pay attention." So my friends were so just out of it, like I couldn't rely on them. The only thing that kicked in for me was I went to the guys. So I got aggressive towards them, which threw them off.
Right.
So I went right to the three guys, and I said in Spanish, one of the guys was wearing a Brooklyn Dodger hat. I said, "Hey, man, yo, great game." I said, "Listen, we're not looking for no problems here. You're wearing a Brooklyn hat. I'm from Brooklyn. The only reason why we came down here was to see a baseball game, bro. We're not here to, you know, just, you know, blah, blah, blah." And the guy, you know, one of the guys was like, "I don't care where you from. You getting stabbed." And then one of the other guy goes to the guy and goes, "Yo, you got to give him respect coming up to us like this, bro. Let the guy go, bro." So then I went back. I turned around. My two friends weren't even near me. They're down the hill. And, dude, they don't realize that how dangerous that situation was. Right. And I just say, Evan is correct. It is a little dangerous out there. I realized that right away. So I doubt if I'll ever go back there. But, you know, before I hang up, Evan, you have to just tell me, back in the day, you guys used to get people from other, you know, like the Nick thing real quick with this coach, Taylor. Is that you can't find out why he got fired? Like, it makes no sense. Good offensive mind.
I got information.
I got information.
I did some research over the weekend about Jenkins. Like,
this is great.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I found out, A, what went wrong there, and then B, what fans criticized him for, because I find those two things really, really interesting. So let's start with what ended up happening. Mm-hmm. So what ended up happening is the front office took away a lot of his coaching staff last year and tried to instill like a different offense, which Ja Morant didn't like. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't Ja not liking Coach Jenkins. It was they neutered the head coach.
Right.
They knew this head coach didn't have the authority anymore once they took away four of his assistants and put new assistants in. And I think from that moment on, he was a dead man walking. So that's what I heard happen. So I think it was just squarely a front office head coaching disagreement mm-hmm. on the way the team was going to be run. But here's the funny part. We're going to have a good laugh about this. I wanted to find out what Grizzly fans think, because Knicks fans have opinions. What do Grizzly fans think of Coach Taylor Jenkins? The biggest criticism they had on Jenkins is he did not play his stars enough minutes. I'm not kidding you.
That is amazing.
So he's perfect!
Right. For New York.
Yes!
This is what Knicks fans want.
Yeah!
Save him for the postseason.
You were so annoyed that Tibbs was playing his starters into the ground? Apparently, a good amount of Grizzly fans were frustrated with Coach Jenkins' insistence on playing it slow with Triple J and Ja Morant Desmond Bane.
But some of those guys had injury issues,
correct.
Right?
Correct. Ja's never really been fully healthy for a season.
And so I get it. You want to be smart. You got to prepare your team for, or at least get your team to last for the whole season. If they're injury prone because they're playing too many minutes, unlike Tibbs, then you got to do what you got to do. I think it was smart business on his part. It's interesting, though, that like a coaching... An organization would neuter a head coach like that, as you mentioned, take his staff, mm-hmm. and then not fire him. Like, why make him?
Well, they did eventually.
I know, eventually, but why would you not just fire him in the first place?
Doesn't seem like a great idea. You're right. And you wonder, is it setting them up to be fired?
Hmm.
Like, is it it wouldn't be popular to fire him, considering the success the Grizzlies have had, so we're just going to set him up to move on, which they did with nine games to go in the season. I don't like the New York Knicks, but I'm going to tell you, Knicks fans, something. While you may not be turned on by Mike Brown or turned on by Taylor Jenkins, those are not bad hires.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. They're just not. And I'd argue this with Knicks fans. Mike Brown's got a better winning percentage in his career than Tom Thibodeau. Mike Brown's coached in NBA Finals. When did Tom Thibodeau do that?
Right.
Taylor Jenkins has a better winning percentage than Tom Thibodeau. So I'm not trying to demean Coach Tibbs. I think he did a great job here, and he should always be thanked for what he did turning this franchise around. But the arrogance in which some Knicks fans talk about Mike Brown like he's some kind of bum. He coached a team to the NBA Finals. He coached the Lakers to the second round of the playoffs.
Right.
He coached the Kings to the playoffs.
But the Knicks fan doesn't know him, or at least they don't know what he stands for and what he's about. And so it feels so anti-Tibbs that it's not what they want.
Yeah, I think the problem is what people want is something sexy. And Mike Brown and Coach Jenkins are not sexy to them.
But they're good coaches.
But they're good coaches who have good track records.
Right.
So, I don't know, man. But it did make me laugh thinking about how Taylor Jenkins was criticized for not playing his starters enough minutes.
That's funny.
That does make me laugh.
And I hope you can't win. It's almost you can't win.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Well, depending on where you are, unless you actually win. Right? Unless you win a championship or you get to the NBA Finals at least. Someone's going to have a criticism about what you're doing.
Yeah, that's true. And no matter who the next coach is, and I still think it can be Jason Kidd, as I've told you all last week, and now Ian Begley has reported, don't rule it out. See, Sean's giving me crap for continuing to pump the Jason Kidd, banjo. But I'm telling you, he's a snake. You should know better.
I know that he's a snake. I believe he will get more money out of Dallas, and that's it. That's what I think is going on.
Wait, who got an extent?
Billy Donovan.
Billy Donovan, that's
By
right.
By the way, do we believe that the Knicks did reach out for Billy Donovan now?
Do I believe the Knicks reached out to Billy Donovan? I think the Knicks reached out to Billy Donovan. I don't know if they ever had a serious interest in Billy Donovan. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. Just for him now to get the extension after?
Well, the Bulls may be dumb. I mean, they don't know.
They might have fallen for it.
Yeah, I don't know if they know the Knicks' intentions on what they were doing reaching out to a lot of currently employed head coaches. But Jason Kidd is a real factor.
Mm.
Real factor. And I'll tell you this right now. I got all hot and bothered when Desmond Bane was traded. First, I got bothered because I actually wanted the Nets to draft Bane 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Instead, they took the pick and traded it for the skeleton of Landry Shamet.
Right.
So I was annoyed by that. But then I started thinking, all right, the Grizzlies are doing one of two things. They're either shedding the salary of Bane to pay Jaren Jackson Jr. to stay under the luxury tax thresholds, which is probably what they're doing.
Right.
Or... they're blowing the whole thing up.
Yeah, but why would they do that?
I don't know.
They got too many good young players.
And if they're blowing the whole thing up...
not happening.
I understand the concerns. I understand New York City may be tough. Give me Ja Morant.
Evan, that sounds nice.
Give me Ja Morant! Let me build around Ja Morant. He just needs good leadership. Jordy will tell him not to play with guns.
Okay, that's fine.
I trust Jordy.
Evan, look, Orlando got themselves Bane. Sean Marks is the Joker, so don't expect it, dude.
Mm. All right.
Did nobody get... come on, that's A material.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I get it.
Bane, the Nets still in the league.
It's just the Joker? Not mainstream enough.
Batman?
Great character. The character is not.
Batman is mainstream. Bane is not.
Who the hell is Bane?
The Dark Knight Rises? That was the villain in Batman?
Oh, there was a villain named Bane?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy with the messed up voice.
I was born in the dark. What about the Penguin? Where's that guy?
That's in the movie that's still not coming out after the show.
Gotcha. Okay. I know about the Penguin. I know about the Joker. I didn't know about Bane.
You don't know about Bane?
Didn't know about Bane.
Not I
know
mainstream about enough. Good try, though.
What?
Good try.
I didn't know about Desmond Bane, and the Nets should have drafted him. And now the Grizzlies got 4 first-round picks, a pick swap, and a couple of useful players.
Right.
Frank is calling from the Harlem River Drive. What's up, Frank?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to address the Volpe thing. I'm glad that Volpe tried to steal third base because the Yankees stink at trying to move a runner over either by an infield hit to the right or a fly ball to the right, or heaven forbid they should get a single and move the guy around or score. So I think the Volpe thing was perfect. That's issue one. Issue two, I've been listening to the fan for a long time. Everybody and their brother always complains about the current manager. Drives me crazy. It's like they know more than the current manager. Anyway, those are the two quick
That points. Is, and, Frank, that's a part of baseball in this town.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that my great-great-grandfather used to bitch about John McGraw all the time at the local watering pub. And think about that. Who would ever complain about John McGraw? That guy forgot more baseball than anyone knows. And yet, great, 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 great grandpa Giver, that's my mother's side. I think it was on my mom's side. My father's side was a Giant fan, but I don't think their generation goes as far back in New York. They used to cry about John McGraw. Why is he leaving Christy Mathewson in to face guys 6 times around the batting order? You got Chief Bender ready to come in.
Too bad there was no fan back then.
I know. But you know what? You still bitched about it, right? Yeah. When you were picking up the horse and buggy. People would complain all the time. But it is a tale, the test of time, where that's what we do. You know, we just bitch about current managers and say, why did we make this move? Why did we make that move? Boy, you guys, you know, I tested you and you failed.
Why?
Not mad at Tiki. He doesn't know 1912 baseball, but Sean, I thought you knew 1912 baseball.
I can't even look at you in the eye. I didn't know who Bain was. Now you expect me to get you something from 1912 here?
Chief Bender never played for the Giants. He was on the Philadelphia A's. He was one of the great pitchers of that time.
That's right. My great-great-grandpa had a jersey. I totally forgot about that.
They should have known that. They were rivals. I mean, the A's and Giants played each other in the World Series. Why would they be pulling Christy Mathewson for Chief Bender? That never happened.
So now I'm confused. You intentionally said the wrong name to test us?
Nah, I actually screwed it up in my head. I wanted to name another random 1912 baseball player, and unfortunately, Chief was the first guy that came into my head. The guy's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And then I realized as I was saying it, he played for the A's. He played for Connie Mack. He didn't play for John McGraw. So for all the older listeners, understand I know I made a mistake. My apologies.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
So I should have just gone on with it?
Nobody would have mattered or minded.
I just want to be held accountable. That's all. Just want to be right. Let's go to Nick in Emerson. What's up, Nick?
How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good, man.
All right. So I want to preface by saying Sean Marash, he's the best part of the show. He's a good friend, great guy. We haven't broke bread together, but we have taken shots together at a Giants tailgate. So I want to say that.
That's very nice of you. That's very nice of you. I think he appreciates that.
Right.
Listen.
He was looking rather confused for a second.
He will tell you I'm insane. So I had a Yankee point to make, but Evan, I respect you. You're one of my redheaded brothers. There's not many of us left, but me and you were there. However, I have to turn to your co-host. Tiki.
What up?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I need you to apologize to me.
I'm sorry. What am I apologizing for?
Growing up, I am a diehard Giant fan. I love this team more than I love my family, more than I love everything in this world. They are tattooed all over my body. I worshipped you as a kid.
Okay.
The day you retired was the worst day of my life.
No, it wasn't.
I lost my mother when I was 21 years old. You retiring was the worst day of my life.
Stop. Now you're making me feel bad.
No. Well, you should. Tiki, I'm not kidding. I worshipped you. Worship. As a kid, one of my good friends, his mother worked at a jeweler.
Okay.
And she got me a bracelet, and engraved on it was Tiki.
Wow.
That's how much I love you.
Wow, I feel like you might be stalking me.
I'm not stalking you. I have no idea where you live. I have no idea about your family. Nothing.
I'm joking.
I know you are. All I'm asking, if you could just say, Nick, I'm sorry, I retired, and we went on to win a couple of Super Bowls after.
Yeah.
I will hang up. I will buy a legend jersey from you, and I will tweet it at you.
Nice.
Because I will love you again.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, Nick, I am sorry that I retired. And I'm happy, though, that they won a Super Bowl right after I did, because timing's a bitch, man. It is.
I can't believe you gave in and apologized to this guy.
I mean, he took shots with Sean. He has Giants tattooed all over his body.
Yeah.
He's quasi-stalking. And now he's going to buy a Legends jersey. I love that.
What a ride that was. What a ride.
I mean, it started with him loving you.
I know.
Yes.
And it ended with him.
I thought this was going to be a Sean love fest.
No, it did. I know which Nick that is.
Uh-huh.
Nick went viral a few months ago. He was a contestant on Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy. I forget which one. And he said basically the Giants are the only thing he loves more than his family. It was a viral moment.
Can you find that viral moment?
Yeah,
we should take a listen.
Oh, that's cool.
All right. Well, he proved it. I mean, he said a lot of things that proved his love for the Giants in a crazy kind of way.
Uh-huh.
In a way that even Sean doesn't go as far as that.
That was tough, man. That was tough.
Do you want to agree that you love the Giants more than your family, Sean?
No. And some of the things he said there, I'm not even going to repeat.
I know. Worst day. Listen, to each his own. I'm not going to tell someone they're wrong for feeling how they feel.
I had some strong fans. I like that.
You know what I think that apology did, though, Tiki?
What's that?
Giant fans are ready. We're back. You know, this could be a big year of Giant football, and I think we've all healed here. So we're back. We're chomping at the bit here.
This was the healing moment we needed.
And I think two baseball sweeps held us point in the direction of the Giants.
Can we talk football yet?
We're almost there, man. Middle of June. I tell you, Aaron Glenn could be a cult leader because I know this sounds random, but I need to counterbalance your Giant love. I was watching, I forget what night it was. I couldn't sleep, of course. And I was watching all of Aaron Glenn's press conferences during the mandatory camps. Dude, that guy could sell me anything. He was firing me up with the accountability and everything he was saying. Like, I love Aaron Glenn. I think I'm in a cult, and I really need to be careful because Aaron Glenn can tell me to do things I may listen.
And you're going
to
do it.
So I need you guys to hold me, like, to a standard here that I should not be confused by Aaron Glenn. Now, here's the warning I have to Aaron if he's listening, chuckling, like, oh, I got a guy in the media in my back pocket. That all ends once you start losing, bro. Right now, you got me. You got me all fired up for training camp. I'm ready to run through a tackling dummy. I'll do whatever you want. You start putting L's on the wall, I'm going to turn on you quicker than, you know, Brutus and Julius.
We're the freaking New York Jets. So we're built for the
Yes. Now, did you understand the Brutus and Julius clip?
No, of course, wrestling.
No.
Oh, gosh. Brutus the beefcake?
Oh, my God. Julius Caesar. A2 Brutai.
Brute, not Brutai. Brute,
whatever he says. Whatever dumb comedy says.
You know I don't read.
Although the Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty was at the Brutus barbershop. So it is connected.
Wasn't necessary, but thank you for that, Rosie. We'll get back to your calls in a second. 888-808-1019. And speaking of Tiki Barber, he will answer a New York mystery that's existed for a long time. You've never heard this answered. He's answering one of the great New York sports mysteries of all time in just a few minutes. We're live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Tiki seems nervous. Like, what the hell am I answering?
First got Nick calling me, demanding I apologize. Now I got to answer a mystery that I don't even know what the mystery is.
I have confidence that you will be able to solve the mystery for all of us.
Okay.
For those that care about the All-Star game, they issued the first round of results thus far in All-Star starting voting. Three local players currently lead at their respective positions. Three. Can you name the three local players that currently, if the voting ended today, would have won?
Freed?
No, it's no pitching. It's only position players. Vote the pitchers. That's manager choice.
So, Alonso?
Pete Alonso, incorrect.
Really?
Freddie Freeman is currently the leader at first base in the National League. Rightfully so. He's had a great year.
Yeah. Lindor?
Francisco Lindor is correct. He is currently the leader at shortstop. And remember, Lindor has still not been an all-star as a New York Met.
Judge?
Aaron Judge is not only the leading vote-getter, he leads baseball by a lot. Like, it's not even close. He's got 1.5 million votes.
The next highest in the American League is a shade over a million by Cal Raleigh, the catcher.
Goldschmidt.
There you go. You nailed it.
Bang!
Bang! Bang! Bang! From downtown. Yeah, Paul Goldschmidt leads at first base. Now, there are a lot of mysteries in New York sports. Like, one mystery I've always had, Teak, is what if A-Rod signed with the Mets? What would have happened? But there is another mystery in New York sports that our last caller sort of alluded to, and Boomer questioned on the air earlier today. Let's take a listen, and we will get the definitive answer by the only guy who could answer it.
Now, I don't know how much he thinks he could play. I probably think Tiki probably could have played at least another 4 years. At least another 4 years at the top of his game. Because he's such a fanatic when it came to keeping himself in shape and everything.
Now, this discussion was based on Chris Kreider and trying to compare him to other legendary athletes in New York. It's a very good discussion. And so when talking about you, you obviously did retire at the top of your game. You broke our last caller's heart to where you had to apologize to him, which you shouldn't have done, but okay. So it is a great question. And Boomer, as a former athlete, is theorizing. Four more years out of really good years out of Tiki. You know your body better than anybody else. How many more years could you have played at a high level?
At a high level? At 1,600 plus yards a season? At 430-something touches?
How about at the level where you're still really good?
I didn't want to play when I was really good. I wanted to be great. So that's why I retired. I could feel myself slowing down.
Oh, no, I get why you retired. Right. I would have retired after 1 year if I played football. Kidding me?
You're saying you would have declined the following year? There was some years in there where I would, like, going on a 95-yard run felt doable. 70-yard run, doable. It happened to happen a lot, 50-yard runs. Those runs started becoming 30 yards or 15 yards or 20 yards. So I could feel it. I could literally feel it. Just not the same player that I was. And I didn't want to be average. So I retired. Started to get beat up. I mean, I was getting a ton of touches a season. Running backs these days don't get that many. They just don't allow it. And it's all often by committee. But I felt myself getting beat up. I didn't want to do it anymore.
So the decline would have come.
Absolutely would have come.
All right.
And I didn't want to prepare. Like, for me to play at two, I'm 190 pounds right now. I'd go to camp at 215. So that's 25 pounds. I have to unnaturally keep on my body. And it was hard, right? It was lifting. It was deadlift squatting. I'm not naturally big, so I had to make myself big. It was hard. Like, Rondé is our natural weight. He played his whole career at like 185 or something like that. Maybe not even that. And so I didn't want to do it anymore. It's hard.
No, I don't blame
him. It's a grind.
That's why I shouldn't have apologized to that guy. Should have been like, you try to keep this up for 2-3 more years.
Right, and I did it for a decade.
There was an athlete over the weekend who essentially announced his retirement far in advance. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys heard this. Like, literally said,
"Oh, I did.
I'm not going to answer this again. I'm done after 2027. So that means we're talking about this year and two more years.
Right.
So it's a very far advanced retirement. Mm-hmm. And I kind of trust this man. Like, when he said it, I went back, I read the quotes again. I was like, I don't know. I didn't hear the audio, but I could hear this guy saying it. I was like, oh, he's telling the truth. That guy's done after 2027. So you talk about announcing your retirement far in advance. And the guy I'm talking about is former Met Zach Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wheeler told the people, I'm done after 20. Don't even ask me. And his reasoning was, I would just want to play with my kids. I just don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
Which is fair enough.
My kids need a father. I think he said
that. Is that what he said?
Something like that.
It's great. He's put together a hell of a career.
Right. And baseball, talk about a grind.
Oh, yeah.
It's so long, and you're always on the road. Football was, we slept away from home 8 nights.
Mm. That's nothing compared to what these guys are doing.
8 nights the entire year, other than training camp, but whatever, that is what it is. 8 nights during the regular season. That was it. These guys are away 100 nights.
A lot of travel.
Right.
That's crazy when you think about it.
It is.
With that said, most Philly fans probably don't believe Zach Wheeler. They're like, yeah, full of crap. We'll just offer him $45 million a year, give him a Roger Clemens part-time contract, and he'll come back.
Right.
But he did say that the other day, and I do kind of believe him. So there you go. You would have declined the following year. You didn't want to play as a declining player.
I probably would have had a year where I would have rushed for 1,300 yards.
That's not, that's my guess. Like, when you say decline, yeah, you may not have had as good of a year as the year before, but there's no way you were just going to rush for like 450 yards and be out of the league.
Right.
Like, yeah, you would have been very good, maybe not to that level.
Right.
And so, Boomer gave you a lot of credit, say, in 4 years. That's a lot.
I don't think so. Because I couldn't have been the player that I wanted to be.
Right.
Like, I didn't like coming off the field. I liked being responsible.
And some guys were willing to do it. Look at LaDainian Tomlinson. Mm-hmm. Now, he was still a useful player for the New York Jets, right. But he was not LaDainian Tomlinson.
No. Yeah. Not the one that we saw in San Diego for all those years.
And you know what? Tiki gave a nice apology to that caller in the last segment. How about a thank you, Tiki? Because if that's how you really feel and you're going to decline, guess what? Without you retiring, they don't draft the Ahmad Bradshaw probably the next year. Yeah. And we owe a lot to that run. So
that's a good
thank
point.
You for having the foresight, right? And we appreciate it.
They don't
it.
Bring in Ruben Drones?
That's right.
Who was actually the third leading rusher on the team?
Well, I'm not going to throw pom-poms for Ruben Drones, but I understand what you're saying.
Do you know the other thing that happens? If you start declining, Sean Morash is killing you.
Get this old scrub off the team.
He's calling Sports Talk Radio. Did you tell this guy to retire? He stinks. Let's go to Jeff in the Bronx. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good. What's up, Jeff?
Excellent.
Guys, is it me or is it like every day Dominguez is looking like Labor Torres 2.0?
I don't think so, because Glaver was more the lackadaisical fielding. Obviously, swinging for the fences and that launch angle he was always trying to generate. That's why he got frustrated with it, because he was so much better in theory of a player than he kind of ever became. Even though last year he was fantastic,
right?
I don't know. I feel there's different vibes that Gleyber Torres have that Jason Dominguez isn't projecting.
I don't have that vibe at all from Jason Dominguez.
Right.
I really don't. He made a bad decision and had a brain lock. Not even decision, because he just got confused on the count.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to. We don't have to like it, and it's not acceptable, but he explained what the hell happened. This is not like a common thing with him. And I think right now what you're seeing with Jason Dominguez is a 22-year-old kid who's getting to play full-time for the first time, and he's struggling.
Right.
Like, is he going to live as a 230, 700 OPS player? Probably not. I think he's going to be better than that. Now, does he ever get to the superstardom that Yankee fans were almost promised and almost expected from him? I don't know. But I certainly don't get a vibe from him that he's got his head in the clouds.
No, I don't either. Look, that was a bad moment. Also, I'd like to give Dominguez a lot of credit, because we were on the verge of saying, should this guy just be a full-time DH in spring training? And frankly, his fielding really has not been an issue at all.
Oh, is that true? Well, let's make something clear around here, parts.
Here we go.
We did not say he should be a full-time DH. We didn't say that. You said that.
No.
Not we.
I did
not
say
me.
That.
Not Tiki.
You're right.
We didn't say it.
Because you were so frustrated with his right field development.
Yeah.
Lack thereof.
I said put Bellinger in left and make him a center fielder where he's more comfortable. I never said DH. Other people said that. So I checkmate to you. I never said that either.
That is true. That is what Sean said.
Damn it. That is what he said. And I told you, just let the kid play left field and he will get better. And I think we've seen that this season.
Right.
He's gotten better. He got better with experience. And you keep good, really good defenders like Trent Grisham and Cody Bellinger in center field when need be, because you'd rather have that premium position filled by someone who's really good defensively.
Right.
Chris in Port Washington. Hey, Chris.
Oh, hey, man. What's going on? First, back to the ultra Tiki love. Does the bar Anbil Bach ring a bell from Riverdale?
Yes. Because we used to live up there. I used to live up there.
Yeah. 2007, 2008, you were like screening a movie. There was a lunatic fan running up and down the street to meet you. That was me.
Get out of here.
And it's just all done because I found a picture on my computer. And, still constant professional.
That's cool.
Seemed like a real good dude. You stopped for the picture and all this stuff,
which is
great. Two more things. For the Knicks. Has anybody even thought about the fact that possibly they're waiting for the Thunder Pacers series to end to maybe go hire Chip England or Dan Bliss?
Oh, one of their assistants.
I
was waiting for him to say Daniels or Carlisle.
Right. I mean, maybe.
I guess it's possible that those guys would get interviews. I don't know if they're waiting necessarily. I think the Knicks realize they don't have to rush on this hire.
Yeah, they're taking their time.
Yeah, they should take their time. They don't feel like they need to rush. I don't think they're making major changes to this roster. I don't think they really have the ability to make major changes to this roster.
Right. Only thing that can affect the roster is if one of the big names like KD, which we don't think is really plausible any longer because Rich Kleiman basically didn't even include the Knicks when he talked about the teams that they were going to talk to.
I guess Kevin never wanted the Knicks, not then, not now.
Exactly. Or Giannis in a trade. But otherwise, they don't have a first-round draft pick.
So. Right, and they don't have the assets. Like, if Memphis did blow it up and they were trading Jaren Jackson Jr., sure, he'd be great on the Knicks. What the hell are you giving them?
Right.
So I think the likeliest scenario is they're making these small kind of on-the-margin moves, and I don't think the Knicks feel like, wow, we have to have our head coach before we start that.
No, and the question is, do they know what they actually want? You know, in a head coach, and I don't know if that's the case.
Well,
they could just be taking their time, or they just don't know yet.
I think the Knicks are doing this. I can't believe I'm saying this, and I got to be the odd guy here. I think they're doing this perfectly. They canvassed the league for available coaches currently employed. They got resounding no's everywhere, some of which they probably didn't have a real interest in. But what the hell? Like, what's the worst that can happen? They say no, right? So they canvassed the league. Now there's a great list of available accomplished coaches who don't have jobs, like Taylor Jenkins, like Mike Brown, who they can go speak to,
right.
Like Michael Malone if they schedule an interview with him, which they won't, or Mike Budenholzer if they schedule an interview. They got a lot of really good candidates, and then they're going to go through it and determine who's best for this team and this roster.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Taylor Jenkins, since we're kind of evaluating him a little bit, we let you know what happened wrong in Memphis. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. We also told you the biggest criticisms he faced from Grizzly fans. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. Let's not forget, and I want to defend him before people go nuts. So this is a preemptive defense of Taylor Jenkins. Do you guys remember the basketball game this year in which two teams were playing? There was a game-winning steal. And as a fast break was occurring with one team about to take the lead, a timeout was called.
Yes.
That was Taylor Jenkins. Now, let me preemptively tell you, I've rewatched this replay over and over again. Taylor Jenkins got screwed. He never called timeout.
Right.
The officials made up a timeout
based
on Jenkins' hand motions of let's go,
right.
Let's go,
because he was moving up the baseline.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
and they thought he was coming towards him to say timeout.
Correct. And he wasn't. So before anyone criticizes Taylor Jenkins for being the idiot who called a timeout in the middle of a fast break, he didn't actually do that. So just want that out there.
Right.
Now we all feel better about ourselves. Alex in New Canaan. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you doing? I got something I want to say to Kiki, but I just wanted to, because I want to ask him a couple things.
Go ahead.
But I wanted to say that the thing that bothered me as a Red Sox fan was the timing and why they didn't at least get the first baseman who's number 10 prospect in the country, this guy Bryce Eldridge. That's what annoys me.
They're not trading him.
Right.
They weren't trading Bryce Eldridge. He's their top prospect. They love him. They weren't going to deal him.
Right.
They would have said no.
Well, I don't know about that.
That because the Giants weren't going to trade him.
Yeah.
But they really wanted, well, I guess we're going to eat $250
million.
But, Keith, I wanted to ask you, are you a Liverpool fan?
I am. A big Liverpool
fan. You are, because you were just saying before about FSG and it might be financially.
Right.
So you know, you see everything that's going on with FSG. The millions of dollars they're spending in order to go back-to-back.
Right.
I mean, most people here don't realize it, but as a Red Sox fan, I keep on top of it.
Right.
I mean, look at the players they have just signed. They have just literally spending now $300 million just as a transfer fee.
So Alex is referring to is Liverpool, who won the Premier League this year, a new coach, Arne Slot, won the Premier League. And last year was interesting because the head coach left, Jurgen Klopp left, and it felt like Fenway Sports Group was trying to sell Liverpool. Like they were soliciting offers to sell the team. And then they get a new head coach. They win this year. A couple of Arnold, and they sign at least $250 million in transfers this year. So when I said earlier, this feels like a Fenway Sports Group money thing, that's why I said it. Because one part of their business just spent a ton of money on a soccer club in England. And so I can't help but think, well, maybe the corresponding move is to shed salary with the Red Sox.
Oh boy.
Now it's probably not the case.
Yeah.
But I do think these are more complex monetary issues than just looking at it in a vacuum in Major League Baseball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get you.
And so you're seeing more team, more ownership groups that are like this. They don't just own, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They also own Manchester United.
Right.
Right? They don't just own the Boston Red Sox. They also own Liverpool. Your owner, Woody Johnson, is talking about taking a position in Crystal Palace in the Premier League. And so it's starting to become financially complex for some of these sports groups.
Well, no Red Sox fan wants to hear that they shed Devers' contract, because
I don't think they did, but I can't help but think about it.
No, but to his point, so our last caller brought up one of the top prospects in baseball named Bryce Elridge, right? And I get his point as a Red Sox fan saying, hey, if I'm going to deal Rafael Devers, why am I not getting top prospects?
Right.
I got controllable arms, and I got a single-A pitcher, and I got an average outfield prospect, but why not the crown jewel?
Right.
And the reason why you have no chance to do that is you ask the Giants to pick up the entire contract. If the Red Sox pulled a Steve Cohen and said, you know what? Oh, you'll get Devers.
Right.
And we're going to pick up 30% of that contract, the way the Marlins did with Giancarlo Stanton, the way the Mets did with Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander, maybe the Giants are more willing to trade a top prospect. And that's what would piss me off if I'm a Red Sox fan. Like, I'm only good with this, and I'm still not good with it, if you reinvest the money in like a big free agent next year. I mentioned Kyle Tucker earlier. Sean mentioned Michael King. But if this is about shedding money for a soccer team, I mean, I'd lose my freaking mind.
I just, you have to think of it as a business and not as a sport fan. That's the challenge. And it's what people don't want to talk about.
Yeah, well.
But that's the reality of their circumstances.
You and that caller brought it up, and I shake my head. I don't know if it's true, but I say, boy,
if it's true either. But this is the first thing I thought about.
That pissed me off.
Because Liverpool just spent a ton of money bringing in new transfers.
No, I get you. I get you. Jim in Saratoga Springs. What's up, Jim?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
So, a couple things. I want to talk about the Knicks, but one thing Tiki's getting all this attention on this show. all us old guys check out Facebook every once in a while.
Facebook.
And they had something called Reels. And there's Tiki Barber breaking a 97-yard run for a TD.
Oh, that was against Oakland.
Exactly. Pretty impressive. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I was slow at that point. I needed help getting down the field.
Yeah. It was an impressive run, my man. It was unbelievable.
Thank you.
But in any case, so Leon Rose and the Knicks, Leon's done an incredible job reshaping that roster, reshaping the organization. Tibbs did a great job of turning the culture around. But I don't understand, and I don't totally agree with Evan, is I don't see a better option than head coach than what Tibbs already is.
Why?
Who's available? Who's better than Tibbs right now?
Mike Brown got to an NBA Finals and has a better winning percentage in his career. Why are we treating him like he's garbage?
That's a good point, because we don't know Mike Brown.
Thank you very much. I know it's a good point. Look, Tom Thibodeau did a great job.
Right. And I think we said this last week. I think the biggest issue is that the players had tuned out.
Yeah, and if that's true, if those exit interviews were enough of a warning sign to say, hey, we need a new voice, let's stop acting like Mike Brown sucks, like Taylor Jenkins sucks, and like all these options are bad. Like, I know there are people out there that actually think I'm trolling you. I'm not. I'm speaking the damn truth to you.
Right.
This search is not embarrassing. This search is not ass backwards. And I believe it's said over and over again. Knicks fans are being emotional. I hold no issue with you guys. But the national media hates you. They mock you all the time. And they're feeding into this. What have the Knicks done wrong? They made the same decision a lot of teams have made over the last few years. We've gone this far, but we can't go further with this head coach. Then they say, hey, what the hell? Probably because James Dolan doesn't give a rat's ass what people think about him.
Right.
So he said, screw it. Ask half the league if active coaches are available. What do I care if it's embarrassing? Then you get your nose, and now you start interviewing people. What am I missing? And I got to tell you, while I'm not ready to put Mike Brown in the Hall of Fame, or Taylor Jenkins in the Hall of Fame, or Mike Budenholzer in the Hall of Fame, I'm sorry. Look at their resumes, folks. Is it really that embarrassing? Mike Budenholzer's won an NBA championship. Mike Brown's coached in the NBA Finals. When has Tom Thibodeau done that?
Right, he hasn't.
Just because it's not sexy enough for you doesn't mean it's a bad hire. So y'all can think, I'm trolling the Knicks. No, no, no. I'm speaking truth to you people. You're not embarrassing yourself. What's embarrassing is the national media taking turns urinating on the New York Knicks for no reason.
Well, it's because it just feels like the Knicks don't have an urgency for their new head coach.
Why should they?
They don't need to. That's what we're talking about. But it feels like they don't have an urgency. And so people are, I don't know, frustrated by it. I don't know why you would be frustrated by it, but you're questioning it in a massive way, even though it may be the best thing for the Knicks. A
lot more of your phone calls coming up, including, and I am so looking forward to this, it's opening up a secret envelope. Giancarlo Stanton is back. He has been activated. He is in the starting lineup for tonight's New York Yankee game, as he'll be making his season debut all the way back in March. We all made predictions on a Giancarlo Stanton return date. How accurate were we? Plus, we'll check the rest of this Yankee lineup as they get set to take on the Angels tonight at Yankee Stadium.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.